Well, friends and neighbors, we have another most interesting guest with us here on Memories and Music. His name is Mr. Chip Cepitelli. Now, we've got, I promise you, we've got quite an interesting interview coming up, so we'll start right off the top. Before we do that, when did you retire from Inco, Chip? What year?
In 1971.
And how many years did you put in with the company then?
About 48.
Now, that sounds like a lot of years to me. That must be close to the record. Hey, well, what? Somebody somewhere must have written a story about the longest years of service. Hey, what, would it be around 50 or something?
I think it's 51 or over.
That'd be quite a few years, but
yeah.
48 isn't bad.
No, it's quite a few.
Yes, you spent a little while with the firm. All right, Chip. Starting from square one, where are you from? Where were you born?
Italy, in a village close to Fano.
Where is
on
Fano?
On the Adriatic coast.
Uh-huh. And what year was that?
1908.
Now, I don't think you have too many early memories of Italy, of living there, do you? You left there at what age?
I was about 3 years old.
You remember nothing,
nothing
between
no.
One and three. That figures. Now, what did your father do there in this village near Fano?
He helped his father on the farm. They had a farm right then.
Well, now, a farm in that part of there would be a little different from an Ontario farm, eh? Tell us something about it.
Well, it'd be more fruit, some grain, olives, trees.
Right.
And lots of...
As you say, it would be olives, fruit, some grain,
grapes,
things like that.
Yeah.
Did he make any wine over there, do you know?
Oh, yes, they made a lot of wine for themselves.
You never been back there? Ever go back to see this village?
No, I haven't been back.
Some people have an urge to go back and see their hometowns. Others, it doesn't seem to, don't seem to get quite the same urge. Well, then, since you're only 3 years old, we're going to have to talk about your father. Now, he didn't stay on the farm there.
No, as soon as he got getting close to 20, 21, he left for the U.S., on an immigrant boat.
Immigrant boat to the U.S., and where did he go there?
Around the New England coast, you know, either Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, Maine,
yeah,
in there?
Yeah.
You told me that he was working on some fortifications. These must have been some of the old forts, eh?
Yeah.
War of 1812 or something like that.
Could be, you know.
Well, how long did he stay there?
Stayed the year and part of the winter, and then there was no more work, and he returned back.
And so then how long did he stay back in Fano?
He moved, he came back to Canada the following of the same year in the summertime.
I see. What? Why Canada? Had he heard good reports on Canada or something?
Well, he heard that there was Inco, at that time it was Canadian Copper, was hiring men, and the wages were about a dollar and a half for contract and a dollar and a quarter for day labor, for hourly rate.
That sounded pretty good, I guess.
That's for a day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, as you say, that's per day and not the hour. And so he came back on his own then to Coppercliff, eh?
Yeah.
He got work?
Oh, yes. He worked, made some money.
And what did he do then?
Went back, married.
Uh-huh.
And
brought his wife and the child, being you, over then.
Yeah.
He do marry a girl from the next farm or something like that?
Yeah, pretty close, I guess.
Well, funny, you know, you don't remember a thing about the boat trip. He'd come by boat, I guess. Where would you sail, from Naples or somewhere?
Either Naples or Genoa.
Yeah, right.
I think maybe Genoa.
But you, as we were getting ready for the broadcast, you told me you think you recall the trip by horse-drawn car or tram or whatever from Sudbury.
That was a buggy, yeah. A buggy and...
That's your first memory of Coppercliff?
Of Coppercliff, yeah. I think I either it was drilled into me or that's the recollection I have going by the brewery.
You wouldn't make pay too much
attention to
that.
I wouldn't know. But there was a building there.
Right. And then you got a house in what some of the chaps I've talked to say call Little Italy, right?
Yeah. You had a house ready.
And, well, now tell us some of your early memories about growing up there, going to school. Do you remember your first day at school?
Yeah, I was brought into school. I know that much.
That is to say your father or your mother took you by the hand and said, here you are, eh?
Yeah.
But you had some problems. You didn't speak any English, right?
No, we didn't speak English at all.
So that would make it a little tough, eh?
Yeah.
How did you get along? Tell us about those first days or weeks, sir. You must remember something about them.
Well, the first thing, what I remember is we used to walk home, walk away from school, whether school was on or not, because we didn't understand.
That figures.
Yeah, and then we finally brought back and told, you know, and then we finally caught on.
Now, what would you learn? Would you learn words like cat and fat and rat and the phonetics, words like that, reading, or how did you learn the language?
I guess so. I don't remember, you know, that. What you call it, till I was in grade two, or the most of my recollection.
But by grade two, you were able to read some of the
all the text and all the spelling, big words and everything.
Good,
that time.
Good. Yeah. I guess a youngster,
we used to have
catches on pretty fast,
We used to have spelling bees and everything in them days, you know.
Sure. And that's right. Would you pick up sides and see which side could win?
Mm-hmm.
And you could spell pretty well?
Yeah, we could spell pretty, good.
Well, that's not bad for an Italian kid,
yeah.
But I suppose you'd work at it, though, eh? You'd want to learn, right?
Oh, yes. Then all the children started talking English, and we had to go through the English section, and we had to talk English, and we kept it up, eh?
What about arithmetic? Did you learn the two times table and the three times table and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
That would be the same as Italian, except instead of uno, it would be one or something,
yeah,
or whatever, right?
I remember Dad used to put that seven, they used to put a tail on it.
In Europe, they have a little different thing, don't they?
Yeah.
That's true. Now, did you not... Somewhere along the line here, I believe you told me that you got reading the Thornton W. Burgess books, Peter Rabbit or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes. Lots of them.
Those are great.
We used to get them off the public library.
Uh-huh.
They had the town library there.
I'm trying to remember some names. I can remember Sammy J.
Yeah, and a few.
Who else was there? There was...
Bears and down there. I forget.
Chatterer, the Red Squirrel, is that right?
Squirrel and others. Quite a series.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Good books.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're still out around in the schools or in the public libraries. If not, I think they should be. Because a lot of us
learn more
out of those, I think, than we did in the school. Now, I take it also that there was one teacher that you thought a lot of. What was her name?
Mrs. McCurry.
Mrs. McCurry.
Yeah, or Miss McCurry.
Miss McCurry.
Yeah, Miss McCurry.
Did you not, under her tutelage, skip two or three grades or something?
Yep.
You went from where?
I went from junior third to senior fourth.
That's not bad.
In 1 year.
For a young fellow who's just learning the language, I may say that's not too bad. Now, did you tell me there was another fellow who did it with you and who might be listening to this broadcast now?
Chick Chicato.
Chick Chicato, eh?
And I'm not sure if his brother did or not. Eddie Chicato, I'm not sure now.
You better get in touch with Chick anyway.
Yeah.
Tell him that he's getting a plug. All right. Now, another thing, Chip, we've had many people on here tell us what a fine teacher Mr. McPhail was. But you and Mr. McPhail didn't get along very well, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
What seemed to be the problem?
I guess he was pretty fast with the strap.
That's what I've heard. And you didn't care too much for that, eh?
No, for sure.
Did you walk away then from school? Did that tell us about the truant officer getting after you and everything.
Oh, yeah. And, was ready for the entrance exams, and I was put out in the hall, and I had to wait for McPhail. So instead of waiting for him and getting in a row with him, I wasn't going to take this trap anyway. I walked home, and I didn't try my exams.
And that ended that, eh?
That ended that, and I went to work for the Creosote Company for the summer months.
See, but and then come fall,
the first, second week, and the truant officer got after me.
What was his name? You got fond of him.
I don't know if it was a certain fellow, Chesty, but I think he was some old Scotchman from the old country, or old Englishman, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Well, so back you went and finished some school then, eh?
Yeah. I finished school, and I went right through, and I passed my exams, and...
This is despite our friend Mr. McPhail, ain't he?
Yeah.
You and he was a good, you stayed out of his way.
He was a good teacher, though. Good literature and
grammar
teacher.
Funny. Man tells me what a fine fellow he was, but you weren't too fond of that strap he had.
He had a big one.
Now, Chip, when you finished school there, there was some talk of you going on, but also... You're needed to help out at home. Is that right?
Yep.
So it's like a lot of other fellows, kids about that time. So you went to work, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where'd you go to work? Oh, wait a minute. Tell me about how you got started there in the first place. You said something as we were getting ready for the broadcast about talking to the timekeeper and claiming your age was 16 or something. Now, what was that story?
Well... My dad gave me a description of the general foreman.
Yeah.
And I waited for him, and I asked him for a job. He says, "How old are you?" I says, "I'm 16. I was only 14.
But you were big.
Yeah, I was a good size.
Okay.
He says, "You don't see the timekeeper?" And he says, "Thomas, what you call it? I got a job for you."
Oh, yeah.
The timekeeper gave me square.
A little slip of some kind, yeah.
Going to get a medical, and that's it.
So you were hired, eh, then?
I was hired, and the medical was okay.
So there you were.
Into work that afternoon.
That's how you started with ankle, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, at least this was before the Depression, so you didn't have to line up with about 150 other guys in the same line, eh?
No, there's no lineup.
You know about those lineups, though, eh? Mm-hmm. I've heard about so many times, eh? But they didn't make it easy for you, eh? What did you start? What did you start doing?
I started on the sand bins, or the bins there, and the old reverb.
Right, that'll keep you a little bit tired. You'd sleep at night when you went home, eh?
Oh yeah, so sleep right through sometimes till the next shift.
How long were you doing that?
Oh, about 4 or 5 months, and then I went to 4 or 5 months. Then I went down on the furnace.
And then you pretty well started and stayed in that area then, did you? From that point on, you did different jobs, but that's where you were, eh? Through the rest of your career with Inco, eh?
Yeah, I stayed in the furnace most of the time.
Well, now, look, let's get a little bit away from Inco here, and let's talk about some of the other... You played a musical instrument, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
The clarinet. Not very good.
No. You played what, in the Coppercliff Band?
The Coppercliff Band, yeah.
Well, good for you. Do you remember the name of the bandmaster?
Shrigley.
Now, besides playing in the band, you told me, in the Salvation Army Hall and in the park, I guess, over here, eh?
Yeah.
A few of those places. Yeah. Did you not have... What about brothers and sisters? How did they came along? How many brothers and sisters are living now?
Well, we had three brothers, two brothers, and three sisters.
Right. And you have living just one brother?
Yeah, three brothers and three sisters.
Right.
And I have one brother and one sister living left.
Oh, what are their names and where are they now?
Al or Adudo Sabatali, he's in the ambassador.
Right.
And my sister, Tilly Tizaro, she's in the cop club, her husband's retired.
Right. Well, now, you started work then, Chip, about 1923, and over the next, 10 years, you were a young fellow around town. You didn't take too much part in sports because I think you hurt your knee or something. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a bad accident on my knee.
And that took care of that?
That took care of that.
You did quite a bit of duck hunting, though. That was a favorite thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
But around about 1933, something interesting happened.
That's the year I got married.
See? Yeah. Well, now, it was 1933, the middle of the Depression, but you were working, eh, which was something.
Mm-hmm.
And who did you marry at that time?
Edith Sylvester.
Oh, yes. She, of course, died some years later, and you remarried, eh? When did you remarry?
I remarried in 41.
And who was the second Mrs. Sapatelli?
Archiza Brunskinson.
Well, now there's...
From Thunder Bay, or...
Oh, that's quite a name. Archiza Brunskinson.
Yes.
What's that? Is that a Finnish or Swedish, or where's this Archiza come from?
I think Archiza came from, there was all girls in the family, and the father wanted to put Archiza. And the Brunska, I think it's part German origin.
Right, eh? Well, that's a brand new one, Archiza. Now, I will have to admit this, that my middle name is Archibald. But nobody's called me Archiza. Right. Now, Chip, you had some family by your first wife. What were their names?
Norman, he was the oldest, and Jean was the next, and two boys.
Well, now, I know that with quite a story there. Now, Norman, he was quite a runner, quite a sprinter. Is that correct?
Yeah. He was a good miler, and even longer distance. He had a good track record.
Well, you were telling me that he would be... Had somebody run the 4-minute mile by this time, or did that come a little later? You were telling me that he was trying for the 4-minute mile, or aiming at it or something. Is that right?
Yeah. His friends, were training him for the 4-minute, and he was pretty close. He was onto it. I'm not sure, but they were telling me he was onto it.
Because I remember this, Roger Bannister, or some Englishman, he ran the first 4-minute mile.
Yeah.
And after that, sort of psychologically, nobody thought you could do it. But then, since then, some other people have done that.
Yeah, but Norman was pretty fast.
But he got injured, eh? He didn't keep up the sprinting.
Oh, the car broke his leg.
Oh, it's tough, eh? I mean, that's the way life, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But he, did you tell me that he is now with Inco in Thompson, and he's quite the miner?
Yeah, Shafson for most of his life, and now he's with Inco and Thompson.
Thompson,
yeah. Quite a good top Shafsinker.
Well, now we get around to Eugene. Now, this is something like Eugene took up a sport. Now, what was his sport?
Hockey, actually. He was a good hockey player, good defenseman.
This would be, what, in junior hockey or on the Sudbury
Coppercliff? With the Coppercliff school team. They won the most valuable Ontario player 1 year.
He did at hockey? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, how about that? But he didn't stay at hockey. He went to football.
Football, yeah.
Well, now, there's an interesting story about how he got mixed up in football. What was that story?
Well, Coppercliff High had... were a junior team in football, but after they had no senior team. So he had to go and play for the Sudbury Hard Rocks.
Right.
And they're all men.
They would be Hard Rocks, too.
They would be Hard Rocks.
So he played for them while still, in effect, a teenager, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, and he did pretty well there, and but go ahead with the story.
Well, we kept that up with the Hard Rocks, and the one to fall, there was a testimonial a dinner at the Carpenter Club. Red Pinoza had invited Carmen Basilio and Father Riley, and Father Riley happened to see Gene, and one thing between him and Red led to another, and he got a scholarship.
Well, now, a lot of us have seen Gene Cepitelli. He was pretty stocky, a pretty strong fella. Eh? What was his height and weight? Do you remember?
No, he was about 6'1", 6'1½" or 2, and he was about 180, 185 pounds that time.
He was taller than I realized, eh? But the word got out that he was a good football player.
Yeah. So he was fairly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he was...
He got this scholarship to Syracuse, eh?
Yeah.
Or Villanova.
Villanova.
And what happened after he graduated from Villanova?
Well, he graduated from Villanova. We played in the Liberty Bowl and graduated. And the Hamilton Tiger Cats signed him on right away.
Good old Hamilton, eh?
Mm-hmm. What you call his name? The coach, Jim Trimble.
Jim Trimble, right? I remember. Yeah. That's right. So what year then did he start with the Tiger Cats?
Must have been around 62, around then.
Right. Well, now, Chip, how were you? Of course, you'd had your bad knee. That's why you didn't get involved. Otherwise, maybe you think you might have given a shot at football?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not.
Football wasn't your thing, maybe. Eh?
No.
Well, sir, now, when we were talking about this, it seems to me that... we got on the subject that the Ticats, so it's Gene played on, won the Grey Cup in 1967. Is that right? It seems to be, I guess, Regina.
Regina, yeah.
Regina won it the previous year, as I recall it, beating Ottawa or something out in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. And then...
As a Regina fan, I pointed out to you that one of the passes that won the game for Hamilton, the... receiver was out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
But we're not going to argue about that all these years, eh? I think Regina should have made a point of it at the time.
Uh-huh.
I may say I'm wise because we all saw it on the replay or something afterwards. So, but Gene didn't stay with Hamilton, did he? Not move on to Philadelphia and Montreal, some of those things?
Well, they went to Philadelphia for a couple of years, then... a short season with the Giants, and then he went to the Montreal Alouettes.
This would be back about the year of Sam Etcheverry or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Sam Etcheverry.
And what's he doing now? He's not playing football anymore.
No, he's under construction with his father-in-law.
Well, Chip, that's family number one. Now let's consider family number two here. You're one of the fortunate people. what family have you by your second marriage?
I got Cam, the oldest boy, and he's a principal in North Bay.
Right.
And there's Shirley. She's our registered nurse, and she's traveled the world all over. And now she's Mrs. Ryan, and she's in Australia. You're Sydney?
I see. Sydney, or...
Yeah, something.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
And
the other daughter?
Joyce, Mrs. Reynolds. She's a teacher in Cape Herald. And Barbara and Mrs. Fisher, she's in the desk in the General Hospital.
Well,
not the reception.
Admitting,
eh? Admitting, yeah.
Well, you know, there's an old story, Chip, that a son is a son until he takes a wife, but a daughter is a daughter all your life.
All your life, yeah.
You would, you're a fortunate man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, getting back to yourself, you like hunting, but you don't have a camp, eh?
No.
One fellow I talked to said if you get a camp, that's just some place where all your friends come and live on.
Yeah.
You haven't. Some people I talked to have done a lot of traveling, but that hasn't interested you too much either, eh?
No, it doesn't. Not too much.
Of course, where you live is pretty scenic, isn't it? I mean, pretty good country, but where you live?
Yeah, good fresh air.
Yeah, who needs a show car or someplace anyway when you get up that way?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be fair, Chip, then, to say that you're sort of a homebody? Do you do any gardening or work around the house like that?
Yeah, I do. I put in a big garden. I feed all the families. I have a lot of my neighbors.
I see.
Terrific garden.
Good. Well, you wouldn't admit that to me in our little pre-talk, but that's fair enough. And your wife, as you say, has been pretty busy looking after the family, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's had a full job.
Full-time job, yeah. I suppose, eh? Well, friends and neighbors, our guest has been Mr. Chip Cefatelli, who retired from Inco in 1971 after 48 years, at which time he was working tapping on the furnaces. He's born in Italy. He's had a great story to tell about his life here in Canada, about his marriages, his fine family. It's been a pleasure, Mr. Cefatelli, talking to you, and we thank you very much for being our guest on Memories and Music.
Thank you.